6:52. It is Tuesday. Now we're joined by a woman who's calling us from England. Marina Cantacuzina is the author of the new book, The Forgiveness Project, Stories for a Vengeful Age. Marina, thanks for staying up with us.
That's fine. Hello. Yeah.
Hello. It's what, almost midnight over there?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. Did you take a nap or did you just stay up the whole time?
No, I stayed up working.
Wow. Okay. And now this book, the Forgiveness, when you talk about a vengeful age, what makes you say that?
Well, I just think the sort of discourse that you hear in the narratives or in the media, mainly these days, tend to be about resentment and revenge. And I think, you know, there needs to be some kind of counter-narrative. I don't think necessarily we live in a more violent world than we ever did or a more hateful world than we ever did. But I think because of social media and the internet and the way people communicate now,
right. It
seems to be very loud.
It can be anonymous, too. Now, the book is really about the decision to forgive, the ability to forgive just horrible, horrible things. Have you yourself needed to forgive in your own life then? Or?
Not actually in that way at all. You're right that the stories are all very extreme that I've collected and told. My background's journalism, and I was just sort of compelled to collect kind of healing narratives, really. And that took off as an organization, which is called the Forgiveness Project,
right. And
then as a book 11 years later. But all we do is we use the real stories of victims and perpetrators of crime and violence.
And now some of the stories include the survivors of the Norway Island Massacre. This is where this guy shows up and kills, what, like 80 children, something like that?
80 young people on an island in Norway, yes. And one of the stories in the book is a guy called Bjorn, who really sort of grapples with the notion of forgiveness.
But was he on the island himself? Or?
He was on the island. He was a survivor. Many of his friends were killed.
And he
then saw the killer in court and really struggled and wanted to see him as another human being, because he thought if he dehumanizes him and sees him as evil monster, he's just doing to him what was done to them.
Mm-hmm. And so, but how do you, I mean, forgiveness, it's one thing when someone's apologetic, right? They say, look, I did this horrible thing. I'm so sorry. I believe in that case, and I mean, you can point to many, like even Adam Lanza at Sandy Hook who died himself. But I mean, situations where the killer is not asking for forgiveness, right? And that was the case in Norway, am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. And I think, it's much easier to forgive when remorse and apology is shown. But then again, people do it for themselves. It can be an act of self-healing. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Eva Kaur. I don't know if it's been in America, but Eva Kaur was a victim of Auschwitz. And she talks about how after many years she came to a point where she wanted to forgive the Nazis. And she says she didn't do it because they deserved it, but because she deserves it.
What is that word? Self-healing. And when you talk to these victims that are forgiven, what does that really mean to forgive? Because they're certainly not forgetting. So how what is the shift that occurs when they do that?
I think it's about not allowing the pain of the past dictate the path of the future. It's a mechanism that allows you to move on in your life and to make meaning out of terrible pain that's happened to you, and to turn a page and to let go. But it's not about not feeling angry or not having a painful emotional response. It's mostly about just not being broken by the burden of victimhood.
Do you need to come to some kind of understanding of what happened or why it happened? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I think, and especially you need to have some degree, even if it's a very, very small degree, of empathy and compassion for the person who's hurt you. You know, and some people find that, you know, unbelievable, incomprehensible, really, when it's something so extreme as, you know, murder, for instance.
So you need
but nevertheless, people can do it.
So you have to have compassion for someone who in a cold-hearted, maniacal way, killed somebody else. How do you do that? How do you actually feel compassion for a person like that?
I think you just do it simply by seeing them as a human being and thinking, if as one person put it, his father was killed in a terrorist bomb, she said, of the man who planted the bomb. If I'd lived your life, perhaps I would have made your choices. Mm. So it's that ability to somehow walk in the shoes of someone else, no matter how dirty or ill-fitting those shoes may be.
Okay.
It's very difficult, but some people seem to be able to do it. It's about being human, really, and recognizing that we're all sort of connected at one level.
Those that don't forgive, can they get beyond something like this without necessarily forgiving? I think
you can let go and you can accept and you can kind of forget and put aside and bury. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone has their own, you know, methods of dealing with trauma. Some people can't forgive. Some people don't want to forgive. I'm certainly not saying that you should forgive and you must forgive. And if you don't, you're ruined in some way. I think that's sort of dangerous. But I'm just fascinated by the transformative power of forgiveness, because it really seems to give people a new lease of life, literally. And also there's masses of studies which actually say if you're a forgiving personality, you're much healthier, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically.
So once you forgive, does the incident tend to fade away in some way?
Say that again.
Once you forgive, does it help you kind of get that incident or whatever the trauma was?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've had one or two people say to me who have reached the point of forgiveness of the person who's killed their own child, and they've said that they have felt at times, well, they not forget exactly, but the fact that it's not there the whole time is an obsessive thought in their mind, feeling somehow guilty that they're not thinking about this pain the whole time, because it does heal the pain.
Yeah. In the stories, do any of them involve victims and perpetrators meeting together?
Yeah, several of the stories do. They had met before I actually.
And what does that do? I mean, is it always a good situation?
Well, in the cases that I've met, it doesn't necessarily mean that they keep on seeing each other after the first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, that is the case. And all of them describe it in the same way, that meeting this person, they see them as human. They're not monsters. They're not evil. They're not frightened of them anymore. In every case, remorse has been shown, because you would never meet someone unless they were willing to apologize and show remorse. And that's a very healing thing, really, and accountability is possibly, you know, more healing than punishment, because to have someone say to you, I should never have done, I did it, I should never have done it, I'm so sorry, a sincere apology, really is an extraordinarily healing thing.
Hmm. Well, I'm guessing, in some cases that doesn't, the perpetrators just continue denying what they've done.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have people who still forgive, who just say, I need to forgive for myself. It's a release for me, not for them.
Now, one last thing. Couples, do you see situations where the wife may forgive, the husband may not? Does that seem to tear them apart?
Yes, that happens as well. And people tend to sort of coexist with that very often. And, you know, allow people to deal with their grief and their pain in the way that best suits them.
Yeah. And those that can't forgive, can they explain why?
I think mostly it's about they see forgiveness as some weakness, as condoning or excusing.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that, you know, holding on to possibly the hate, the non-forgiveness, is what that person deserves, and that in some way they're letting them off the hook if they don't.
Yeah. Does it sustain them potentially to maintain that?
Does it sustain them, did you say?
Yeah, I mean, are there people that
I think it does, but in all the cases that I've come across, there comes a point where that wears thin and it actually wears you out and you look for another way. But this could take decades to get to that point. And I think, you know, hate has its place, not for long. Rage and anger have their place, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think... forgiving someone doesn't mean you reconcile with them. It just means taking hold of your painful emotions and deciding to let them go.
It's Marina Cantacuzina, the book, The Forgiveness Project, Stories for a Vengeful Age. Also find her online, theforgivenessproject.com, theforgivenessproject.com. Marina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is it for us. Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson. We will be right back here tomorrow, 1320 WILS. Good night.